I woke up bright and early just for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast with a bad attitude. One of his hands washes the other, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Thank you very much, Drew McMillan, fine Canadian broadcaster and entertainer. This is your Medicare expert, Doug Jones. And I'm only your Medicare expert. I'm not going to be everybody's Medicare expert today. So if you're listening to this, you know that I'm speaking directly to you. And Drew McMillan, of course, is my Canadian nephew who opens every episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, and then he quiets down. The audience expresses their adulation and their appreciation of being here, and then I get to take over. Well, today I tried to take over, and it all fell apart, and it's taken Randy and I over an hour to get all of our equipment working again, and as it turns out, it was all my fault. I accidentally touched a button on my computer that killed the camera. And we're having a Zoom session here, but it was kind of a one-sided session because Randy could not see me, and I make all kinds of hand signals to him while we're recording, and he wasn't able to see anything. So it turns out that I am capable of grievous errors, and Randy cannot read my mind and understand the stupidity with which I approach mechanical equipment sometimes. So it took us almost an hour to figure out that I had accidentally touched a button that I shouldn't have touched. So anyway, Randy was able to handle this disappointment, this wasted hour that he'll never get back, with quite a bit of grace and aplomb. I don't know what a plum is, but I know what grace is, and I appreciate your graciousness, Randy. Thank you very much for being with me.
Oh, you're welcome. So just so the audience knows, anybody could make this mistake. It's the Doug has the, you know, latest and greatest laptop, and it's got one of these freaking little switches over the camera lens that you can slide over it so that nobody can see what you're doing. And every once in a while, it just gets slid over there by nature of opening up the lid and putting it back down. So, you know, it's no big deal, but I'll put it on my list of things to ask next time.
That's right. And it's, that list is growing, isn't it, Randy?
Yeah, it's the moral equivalent in the technology world of having your thumb over the lens.
There you go. So what are we doing here? Well, we're podcasting to the people who are interested in Medicare. And why might they be interested? Well, they might be close to turning 65, or they might have a parent or relative or friend that's close to turning 65, or they might be, you know, 70, 80, and thinking about retiring from their full-time employment and leaving their employer's medical plan. Any number of things can happen to cause somebody to be interested in enrolling in Medicare, kind of a scary thing for people. So we're here to help people do that, or at least understand that process in a way that is not scary and hopefully not burdensome, and eventually will turn out to work to their advantage, because Medicare has many advantages over regular health insurance that people under 65 have. And so typically I come here three times a week to either read things or to pontificate and hopefully entertain and maybe educate. And often none of those things happen. But today I have a lengthy article. I'm not going to read all of it, so it won't be lengthy to you, I don't think. But it's an article from an insurance company. And I'm going to say right now, the insurance company probably doesn't want me to say who they are, so I'm not going to do that. But it's a major national insurance company that we've heard about for years, decades anyway. They are in the business big time. And they have assigned somebody that works for them to write a treatise. The treatise is about Medicare supplement plans G, which I espouse, and N, which I rarely mention. And why do I rarely mention N? Because my goal in life is to keep Medicare as simple as possible. And there are two plans that are really, really simple for people who are approaching Medicare enrollment time. One of those is Plan G, which is basically a very rich, comprehensive plan that costs, a fairly substantial amount of money, $150, $200, depending on where you are. Could be a lot more in some states, and could be like $130 in some other states. And then the other plan, which is equally simple, is high deductible Plan G. And that could cost in the $28, $29 range up to maybe the $50 range, depending on where you live. It's the little brother to Plan G, and it's also simple. You're basically going to have part of the risk of your medical expenses paid by you out of your pocket in return for a low, low, low monthly premium and a lot of savings. And if something bad happens, you will have had years of monthly savings to offset your potential risk. So I highly espouse Plan G, high deductible Plan G, for those who are relatively healthy and who are not completely destitute. So anyway, there are other people who do not mention Plan G. And that became apparent as I got to the end of this six-page report from this major insurance company. But they are telling their agents, they are telling them that Plan G now is the most highly purchased or highly sought after plan by most Medicare participants. And then Plan N is an up-and-comer, they're saying. Now, what happens with Plan G, with all Medicare plans, all Medicare supplement plans, is that you have to pay the first $203. Now, that's this year. Next year, it'll be a different number. Maybe they'll add $5 to it, $208. But you have to pay the first $203 as a deductible for your outpatient medical expenses. And then the plan starts picking up the balance. Well, Medicare pays 80%, and then there's 20% remaining, and you are responsible for that or your Medicare supplement plan. So what happens here is that the powers that be are trying to steer people as a cheaper alternative to Plan G over to Plan N. And so they start out with a little bit of history. The Plan G began in, this Plan G in 2019 soared to 22% of enrollment, Medicare enrollment. What happened is the law changed, and anybody born in 1955 turning 65 in 2020 was not allowed to buy the old favorite plan, which was Plan F. And that was the richest plan you could buy, and it paid for everything. Plan G is the next richest, and it pays for everything but that $203 Part B deductible. Yeah, boy. I hope we can remember where that was to cut that out. So the whole thing is that Plan G became the most popular Medicare supplement plan for people who are too young to be able to get Plan F. And the prediction was that Plan F was going to increase rapidly in cost because it would be full of people that were getting older, getting sicker, and the medical bills would be coming in, paid for by the insurance company, and eventually the rates for Plan F would make them totally unattractive for any new person, like let's say somebody over age 65 who was retiring. You can still buy Plan F, but most insurance companies are jacking those rates up pretty quickly. So Plan G is the most reasonable of the plans that are very comprehensive. Well, the point of this article is that we ought to, as insurance agents, be steering people towards Plan N, because Plan N is still inexpensive, but Plan G is going to be where a lot of people sign up because it's so attractive, comprehensive, and frankly, some people are going to be sold Plan G in spite of the what I think is a fairly high monthly cost. In addition to that, there's a certain class of people who are given a guaranteed issue even when it's not a normal enrollment time, because their plans may have gone broke, or they may have moved out of their plan service area if they were in a Medicare Advantage plan, or if their retiree insurance has been changed in some significant way. There are any number of things that can cause a guaranteed issue environment for a whole bunch of people, and those people will never go through medical underwriting, and so they'll have the opportunity to join Plan G. It's called a guaranteed issue, right? And these people are sicker than average, according to the actuaries. So therefore, they're going to, as time goes by, drive up the Plan G rates to unattractive levels. And the whole thing is that when a whole bunch of sick people come into a plan, the pressure to raise the rates doesn't happen overnight. It's already been a year. 2020 was the first full year in which people age 65 were not able to get the Plan F, the full boat Plan F. They could get Plan G. But also coming into Plan G were people that had this guaranteed issue right. And some of those people are sick and they have a lot of medical expenses. The insurance wasn't designed at the right, the pricing that they've always enjoyed to pay for those medical bills. So that means they're going to be raising the rates on Plan G. Well, I poo-pooed the people that said the Plan F rates were going to go sky high. And it turns out they were right. Those Plan F rates have been going out of sight. So what this report is telling us is that this particular company is predicting that Plan N is going to be the new most attractive plan for people coming into Medicare. Now, why don't I talk about Plan N? Well, because it's got a couple of complications that make it a little more awkward to explain. Those complications are basically office visit copays and emergency room copays. Otherwise, it's a pretty good plan. And because it's a Medicare supplement and not a Medicare Advantage plan, I'm happy with it. If somebody came to me and said, I want Plan N, and that's the only plan I'm going to tolerate or the only plan I'm going to consider, I would say, all righty, step right up, sign on the dotted line, and you may have your Plan N. But typically, when people approach me and say, what should I do? I talk in terms of Plan G and high deductible Plan G, the most comprehensive and the most high performance of the Medicare supplements. Those two plans are the simplest to explain and the top of the price heap and the bottom of the price heap. So it's pretty easy. And then most people go with the high deductible Plan G once they own it, or once they understand the reasons behind my recommendation. And once they see the huge savings every month that they can enjoy. So the federal guaranteed issue rights, they say, are going to drive up those Plan G rates. And that means people will be searching for an alternative if they don't like the increases as time goes by. So my suggestion is always to look for something better than that at the outset. So you don't have to worry about changing, because most people live in places where they will have to answer medical questions if they want to change plans down the road. And I suggest that you buy a plan that you're probably going to be happy with forever and ever. What's that plan? Well, that's going to be your high deductible Plan G. And the fact that it's got an unfortunate name, high deductible, which Randy changed 1 year to high value plans, I think that's a much more descriptive name, accurate description. Those people that have those high deductible plans or high value plans are not going to see the kind of cost increases that the people with Plan G are going to see. And I don't know about Plan N. I don't know where those rates are going to go. They're not going to go down, that's for sure. But high deductible Plan G offers you a low premium. It offers you the opportunity to share the risk with an insurance company with a cap. If you have a really bad year, your cap is going to protect you from any loss that would drive you anywhere close to bankruptcy. It's going to be mildly irritating. I did the calculation. The calculations are different for everybody, but I did the calculation recently for someone, and their cap was in the neighborhood of $1,200 because as they looked at the lowest cost, high deductible plan F or plan G, and then the lowest cost regular plan G, that's the most comprehensive. And the difference in premium between those two was $100 a month. Now, if that goes on for years and years, the savings every year is $1,200. The amount they tell you, the amount at risk is about $2,400. But if you're saving $1,200, then the amount at risk is really only $1,200. So the interesting thing is that the older one gets and the higher those plan G rates get, the less risk there is in taking high deductible plan G. And I can show this for anybody anywhere. If I know where you live, I can do a little comparison between your plan G rate and your high deductible plan G rate. But the bottom line on this 6-page report that I sat there and highlighted and everything else is that their conclusion on the back of the last page. Well, the appeal of Plan N is currently overshadowed by the popularity of Plan G. Current trends point to Plan N emerging as the value choice for more customers in the near future. So I've just gone through this whole program or this report, and I have not heard them say one damn thing about high deductible Plan G. I've been telling everybody who will listen that it is the best plan for Medicare applicants, Medicare participants. And this insurance company won't tell you that. And most agents won't tell you that. And Randy and I have had people tell us that when they've asked for high deductible plan G from their agent, the agent has said, no, that's not good. That's not a plan that you want to purchase because it's going to go, you know, it's got a high deductible. It's just going to drive you into the poorhouse. Well, that's not true. But why is it that the company prefers that nobody know about plan high deductible G? Why is it that agents won't tell you about it and that they pretend it doesn't exist until you force them to tell you about it? The reason is that their income is based on a percentage of what you have to pay. If you're paying $150 a month, that percentage adds up to a nice little income if they have a bunch of other people like you. But if their payment, their premium payment is $30 a month, then the agent's percentage of that is such a small number. They would have to have 10,000 clients. And frankly, most of these guys would rather just go out and play golf than talk to more and more clients, but they would have to have a ton of clients in order to make the kind of money that they would like to make. The insurance company would have that much less money to play with. And frankly, your money would stay in your pocket, but the insurance company won't tell you about it. Other agents won't tell you about it. I'm the only one I know of who continually touts the horn of high deductible plan G. And I'm doing it again today, based upon a report I got from an insurance company who is completely covering up the fact that high deductible plan G is the way to go for most people in most situations. So that's it, Randy. I've had it for today.
Is that that's your story and you're sticking to it, huh?
Well, it's sticking to me, I think. It's probably I've got a target on my back because people don't like to hear about high deductible plan G. Insurance agents don't. And apparently insurance companies don't, judging by this report. Otherwise, they would have compared Plan G and Plan High Deductible G. They didn't do it, though.
So I've got a question for Stump the insurance guy.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
So Plan F and High F, I mean, that's probably down. That's going to be sunset, you know, over the hill here one of these days because nobody can get it. But
yeah,
the other thing that comes to mind is, you know, if you are old and are old enough to get it, it's going to be unbelievably expensive.
There was a time when I didn't think that was going to happen, that I thought the rates would stay fairly stable. And I read an article or two that said the same thing. And I thought, oh, I'm a genius. And then I saw what happened at the beginning of 2020. And that was all these insurance companies kicking the rates up on the Plan F. Now, interestingly enough, high deductible Plan F rates by many companies are identical to high deductible Plan G. And the descriptions of benefits seem to be the same. So Plan F, the super duper all-time comprehensive plan, which is no longer available to anybody who is under age 65, that thing is getting real expensive.
Yeah, so it's the typical, I shouldn't say bait and switch because it's not, but bottom line is they're going to price everybody out of that market and try to drive them to G, normal G or high G. But do you think the same thing will happen with G?
Well, yeah, that's what this article was saying, and I probably didn't do a good job of saying it. Plan F got to be very expensive because a lot of older people were in that plan. Now that Plan G is accepting guaranteed issue people that have had certain bad things happen to their existing plans. So the government says, okay, now you can buy a Plan G without any medical underwriting. Doesn't matter what cancer you have or, you know, what sort of heart problems you have. No medical underwriting, no medical questions. So you can buy Plan G. It's going to start filling up slowly at first, but it'll fill up with people who are sicker than average. The rule of thumb is that 20% of the insured people in your base of clients, 20% of those people cause 80% of the expenses, the medical expenses. So
yeah, the old 80-20 rule still works, huh?
Yes, it works great for the sick people, but it doesn't work so great for the insurance companies and the other premium payers that own that plan.
That's interesting. So I'm glad you covered this because I had I had lost track of what was happening to the rates on F because I don't care. But anyway.
Yeah, well, sure you don't. And I made a couple of podcast episodes that said, those people are crazy that say that F is going to be hugely expensive. But I was wrong, and they were right. F rates have skyrocketed in most insurance companies.
So do you think they'll ever be I'm really planning ahead now, but as you know, I've got an N because I didn't know any better. And
I never said N was bad. I only said it was a little more complex to explain.
Yes. But I was just fortunate that I chanced into that. Otherwise I'd be having some other problems, but do you think N will ever come up with a high value N?
Well, look what happened. No, I don't think so. Because here's what happened with the high deductible or high value F. Is apparently identical to the high deductible, high value G. So when the G and the gets very expensive, they're going to have to pass a law that says you can't buy G anymore, because that's what they did with F. So until they decide to pass a law that says that about G, they're not going to need a high deductible or a high value N.
Okay, so now I've got some questions for future podcast episodes.
Oh, boy.
You've got me all stirred up now. So anyway, we are at the end of our flight.
Right.
And we need to thank the folks for joining us. But first, ask them very nicely, please go to Amazon.com, get your book. Everybody loves Doug's, absolutely loves Doug's book. And they write just all kinds of accolades about it because it cuts through the chaff, as we used to say in the Midwest. You separate the chaff from the wheat. Well, Doug's book is all wheat. So long story short is go buy your book, buy several, notify your friends and relatives that it's out there, and just know that you're making the right decision. No matter what Doug says, follow it.
And whenever you're listening to this, just remember that right after the podcast recording that Randy is so artfully engineering for us, I am spending the rest of the day under the Corvette getting completely filthy. So I'll have that to report on at some point in the future. But thank you very much for joining us.
You're absolutely, I'm glad everybody joins us because it wouldn't be any fun without it. But you guys have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones around the metaphorical coffee table. the guy from Oklahoma and CEO of MLM Air.
Bye-bye.